Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
We will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. I have a dream today.
Today we honor the life and the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
What he stood for, what his family stood for. You talk about sacrifice and equality.
Free at last.
Free at last. Free at last.
Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Thank you to Dr. Martin Luther King. The fighters continue.
For him to really grow up here in Atlanta, and I know how much he means to the city.
This is the ATL on MLK.
Look at that. Are you kidding? Shot of the night.
Loop ahead.
Oh, razzle dazzle.
Big time highlight.
Who is Bobo?
Challenge him, Embiid, and throw it down. Russ, throw it down. Throw it down, Russ.
This year's Martin Luther King Day slate was one to remember around the league, but we have got to start with the last game of the night because Russell Westbrook, he detonated on Rudy Gobert at the rim, and that's got to be his signature highlight as a Laker to date. And then earlier in the day, Ja Morant pulled off this ridiculous 360-degree layup as the Grizzlies beat the Bulls in Memphis. Now, they have won 12 out of their last 13 games. And Luka Doncic, he notched a triple-double in a two-point win over the Thunder. It was his 41st career triple-double. All other Mavericks have combined for 40 triple-doubles. That's in team history. But Luka, he wasn't the only superstar who dropped a triple-double last night. Jimmy Butler, he gave the Raptors 19-10-10. Woo-wee. It was Jimmy's ninth career regular season triple-double with the Heat that ties LeBron James for the most in franchise history. And the Heat, they've quietly crept to the top of the Eastern standings. And then there's Devin Booker, who dropped 48 points in a road win in San Antonio. That's the most he's ever scored in a win. And remember that beef with the Raptors mascot last week? Well, since then, Booker is averaging 37.7 points per game, and the Suns are 3-0. So, okay, Devin Booker, we see you. Joining Matt Barnes and Tim Legler at the desk, I'm Malika Andrews, and welcome to NBA Today. Kendrick Perkins, J.J. Redick, Adrian Wojnarowski are going to be stopping by in just a little bit. But we just saw it. There were 12 games across the league yesterday. We just hit on some major storylines. But Tim, to you, what stood out the most?
Great performances around the league yesterday, but for me, it's got to be the Cavaliers. You know, I look at that game as a statement game, and I know the Nets don't have Kevin Durant, but still, you've got Kyrie trying to now find his way and get his rhythm. You've got James Harden there. You've got Kyrie returning to Cleveland. So this is a big moment for the Cavaliers. They've been hot lately, but these are one of those games, a young team that's playing unconventional lineups the way they are with 3 7-footers. You get the Nets coming into your building on a game like this with this kind of profile and make that kind of statement, this is an enormous confidence builder. And I think in particular, I'm looking at Darius Garland. 27-13 dimes in his last three games. Ja Morant is an MVP candidate. This is another guy from the 2019 draft when a few picks later, not getting enough attention. Some people think maybe he could play his way into the All-Star game. That's possible. But people need to start watching what this young man is doing because he's lighting it up right now, not only as a scorer, but also as a facilitator, taking control of that team.
Absolutely.
I like that young, hungry Cavs team. But I was coaching my kids all day. Shout out to G1. We won the championship. So I missed the majority of the games. I saw highlights, but I was able to catch the Laker game, ending their three-game skid versus the number one offense in the league in the Utah Jazz, holding them to 37% from the field, 26 from the three-point line. We're obviously going to talk about them later, so I don't want to get too in-depth, but they just played with energy and passion last night, and it was good to see.
Don't worry, you don't have to get too in-depth because we will be talking more about the Lakers and the Utah Jazz a little bit later in the show. But let's bring in J.J. Redick and Kendrick Perkins for the same question. Perk, What was your biggest takeaway from MLK Day Hoops?
Well, I was down there in Miami, so it's only right for me to go with them goons from Dade County. And here's why. I think that we all forgot that this team was actually in the finals 2 years ago. And now they've added Kyle Lowry and they added PJ Tucker. And now Bam Adebayo is back and he looked like he hadn't skipped a beat. So when I look at them and I look at their culture, it's just like, hey, they hang their hats on the defensive end. They have enough firepower when it comes down to Jimmy Butler. Tyler Hero, he said, put some respect on his name. He's been balling. And they have the best basketball coach in the game in Eric Spoelstra, a guy that knows how to switch it up on the fly. And when I look at this Miami Heat team, they're my dark horse to win it all. They could beat any team in the NBA in a 7-game series when healthy.
Whoa, dark horse to win it all. Okay, JJ, I don't know if you can follow that with your takeaways from Martin Luther King Day, can you?
Well, actually, I agree with Perk. When healthy, I could see the Heat winning it all. But look, my big takeaway from yesterday, and really from the last 10 days or so, is that the Phoenix Suns should be and are the favorites in the West. They're the only team in the NBA with a top five offense and a top five defense. They're 34-9. The combination of Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton have only played in 23 games together, and they're still 34-9. This is a very deep team. And I want to give a shout out to Mikal Bridges, who should absolutely be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year and certainly a first team all defensive team selection this year.
There were so many good games yesterday. There were so many good teams to keep an eye on. Perk and JJ, please stick around because we're going to be coming back to you shortly. But I promise we're going back to the Lakers. So let's go back to the Lakers and what they did in Crypto.com Arena last night, because it was an interesting game. So LeBron James and the Lakers, they were hosting the Jazz across the street, Tim Legler. It was an interesting matchup here. I want to pick it up, though. Let's go to the second quarter because the Lakers are up 4 here. LeBron James brings the ball up the floor, stops, pops. You know it's good, Tim Legler.
You got to live with that. If you're the Jazz, what are you going to do? LeBron would walk up 3. That's the shot you wanted to take, but he was feeling it.
But are you going to live with this? We need to see that again and again and again because he just took flight there.
That's going to be a nightmare for Rudy Gobert for a while. And I'm happy for Russ. Russ has taken so much heat this season, man. I'm happy. Even if he got a tech, he didn't care. We didn't care. Beautiful to see.
That's a tech that you eat. So the Lakers were up 6 at the halftime, but then early in the fourth, they're down 9 here. LeBron James all the way to the hoop.
LeBron has been working a lot smarter instead of harder. I love these small back cuts, working from the pinch post and posting up on the block, and it's really got this team going.
Well, and then you have Stanley Johnson hitting Avery Bradley for the corner three. So the Lakers role players, they were really stepping up in this game. I know we just showed a Stanley Johnson pass, but he had 10 of his 15 points in the fourth, and then this was just icing on the cake. And Russ Westbrook, he's going to let the fans and his team know it. Here's LeBron James after the game.
When you sent out that tweet making that promise, what did you say to the team, or what did you have in mind to say to the team?
I didn't say anything to the team. It's my accountability, holding accountability for myself and my teammates. I didn't say anything to the guys. Talk can be cheap at times. You just got to go out and have action.
We all said that our effort and energy wasn't where it needed to be, in the Denver game, in the second half of the Memphis game, and then whatever the other game we lost. But we weren't giving maximum effort, so. That starts with me as a leader of the team and just taking the onus, letting Laker Nation know it wasn't about anybody, it was about our fans and the people that ride and die for the Lakers every single day. Let them know that I got this and it wouldn't happen again.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Lakers had given up over 128 points per game during their 3-game losing streak, which was the worst in the league, but allowed just 95 points to the Jazz last night. That's the fewest points they've allowed in over a month. So the Lakers, they got the win, but Tim, you weren't necessarily convinced that things have turned around here. What did you see from the Lakers?
Yeah, listen, much needed win, but let's keep it in perspective. I think that was the worst I saw Utah play all year. I mean, they had forced threes, they didn't shoot the ball well, and then they had key breakdowns at the wrong time. And look, if you're going to get contributions out of your role players at the right time, Lakers got it last night. Stanley Johnson was huge in the fourth quarter, and I just want to talk about, you know, this is a critical possession. I think the biggest possession of the game, just to give people an idea, an anatomy of a play, and how does it happen that you get this sort of breakdown here at the end by the part of the Utah Jazz. Now first, take a look right here. Now this is LeBron James, and you want to know what it's like to be a superstar in the NBA. This is what it looks like in late game possessions, all right? You got four guys loaded up on this side of the lane, ready to give help. LeBron sort of sees that. It is right now a one possession game. It's 92-89, 2.5 minutes to go. So he decides he's just going to take the jump shot. As this ball goes up, here's what happens. Rudy Gobert is taught to just go get it. So he's watching the flight of the basketball. The problem is, so is Royce O'Neal. And when he does that, he does not get what he needs to, which is a chip right here on Stanley Johnson. If he gets a chip, Rudy Gobert gets the ball, the Jazz come down with a chance to potentially tie the game. It doesn't happen. So what happens instead, take a look at the free run that Stanley Johnson gets to this basketball. And now, Matt knows this, offensive rebounds, you've now got chaos on your hands. So when this ball gets kicked out to the corner, Utah, once again, they're looking at LeBron, and take a look at where everybody's eyes are. Rudy Gobert obviously providing help at the edge of the lane, but everybody else on the floor is doing the same thing, and the key is this. Donovan Mitchell is watching the action here. He's keeping his eyes on this part of the lane, and when you get a flash by Stanley Johnson right to the middle, the problem is Donovan Mitchell reacts to that, and now you're going to get Avery Bradley float to the corner. So when that offensive rebound took place, you see Royce O'Neal's in no man's land. No one's really guarding anybody except for on the ball. And as a result, you get this flash. Mitchell reacts to it. You've got four guys in the lane, and now you get this simple float to the corner by Avery Bradley. Great job by Stanley Johnson finding him, hits him in rhythm, hits him in the cradle. Huge shot. So now, when you've got Russell Westbrook, you've got LeBron James, how nice it is and a luxury to get role players help determine the game. And Stanley, right. They don't win the game without what Stanley Johnson did in the fourth quarter of this game. And Avery Bradley obviously stepping up with the three gives the Lakers a much-needed win. But let's not think overnight they turned into the Bad Boys Pistons defensively.
But Matt, you chose them as your team of the night, if you will. So do you agree with that assessment from Lex?
Agreed. One game is not going to switch any kind of mentality or anything. It has to be something they consistently build on. First of all, they need to sign Stanley Johnson for the season. He's one of the young, hungry guys that they just don't have it. They have an older team. This team all knows they're built for the playoffs. So obviously, not saying that they're on cruise control, but they kind of are. But not understanding these new guys, LA is a daily conversation for the Lakers. You know what I mean? So if you're at 500 at this point in the season, you're going to be talked about. But I know this team is gearing up and ramping up towards the playoffs. But they have to understand there is some importance during the regular season. We're waiting for AD to get healthy. We're waiting for their chemistry of their big three to get on. But again, this team is built for the playoffs. So I think as long as they're healthy, they're going to have a chance still.
Well, you mentioned the magic words, healthy, and Anthony Davis. Our Dave McMenamin reported that hopefully on this road trip that they're going on, that's when the Lakers are targeting for him to finally make his return. And the Lakers, they face Indiana tomorrow night, but then they go on their longest road trip of the season. It's six games away from home. It takes them through Orlando, Miami, Brooklyn, Philly, Charlotte, Atlanta. This is the Grammys road trip.
Yeah,
it's the Grammys trip. Even without the Grammys, it's the Grammys trip, if you will. We still have so much to come on NBA Today, though. Kendrick Perkins, he's now a producer on the show, apparently, because Ja Morant's top plays of the season. That is coming up next. Plus, should the Nets change their strategy with no KD and half Kyrie? One of our analysts has a surprising take, and bam, just like that, he is back. So with Adebayo's return to the Heat, are they a low-key the team to beat in the East? Stay tuned.
Live from Los Angeles, welcome back to NBA Today.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Tim Legler and Matt Barnes with me in studio. Should we talk about Ja Morant a little bit? Let's do it.
Don't ever get tired of talking about Ja Morant.
Absolutely not, especially when he is on the tear like he has been. So the Grizzlies, they were hosting the Bulls. Ja Morant, so he's tripped up here by Tony Bradley, and this leads to a little bit of a back and forth here. They get into it, an altercation, shoving, grabbing. Steven Adams, watch him in the corner there. He pulls Bradley away. Watch it again. So he gets tangled up there, Matt. What do you see?
That's how I pick my three-year-old up when he does something wrong in the room and I need to get him away. This is unbelievable.
I mean, Steven Adams is just looking incredibly strong here. Yeah. Here's Ja Morant after the game.
Hoist him. Steven Adams literally picked him up.
As he should.
And carried him to the other side of the court.
As he should.
You like having a guy like that on your team?
Yeah, because I'd do the same for him. That's how I was raised.
Well, we can't talk about the Grizzlies and not bring in the president of the Ja Morant fan club. So we're going to get to Kendrick Perkins in just a little bit. But, I mean, where does this rank on Ja Morant plays for you, Matt Barnes?
I mean, he gives us, we're in for a real treat. I mean, he does this every single night. So just add this to the list.
Well, and the list is growing longer by the day. I mentioned him already, and there is the president, the man, the myth, the legend of the Ja Morant fan club. It is Kendrick Perkins. So, Perk, I know you. You like the flash that Ja brings to the game, but I also know that the grittiness, the, what do you say, the not cute stuff, that matters a little bit more to you. So what impressed you the most? Was it the 360 dunk or the willingness to fight 6'10" Tony Bradley here?
Well, he already warned us that he's not afraid of anybody, so that wasn't a surprise about with him and the young man Tony Bradley getting into it. But the 360 spin move, like, are we going to continue to see highlights from him every single night? The answer is yes. And I'm not just on Ja Morant. I'm completely on the dark side. And I have an open invitation to you, Tim Legler, and Matt Barnes to come and join before it's too late. Matter of fact, Malika, why are you and I the only people on this two box? Where is J.J. Redick right now? Where's J.J. Redick?
Does he have an invitation to the dark side? There he is.
I don't get an invitation.
There you go. So, hold on, J.J., you my guy. So, listen, 2 weeks ago, I mentioned to you, and I tried to be nice. I told you that Ja was in the MVP conversation. I told you about everything, how special he was. And you said he's not in the MVP conversation. So I'm going to give you an opportunity right now, 2 weeks later, to retract this and come on over to the dark side, jump on the Ja Morant, the G12 train, and go ahead and admit and say, you know what, Perk? I was wrong. He actually is in the MVP conversation.
Perk, let's just be very clear about what I said. I said he wasn't at the time in the top five in my MVP estimation. But yeah, he can be part of the conversation. That's fine, Perk. I'll agree with you. He can be part of the conversation.
So that means he's on the dark side or not?
No, I mean, he still, the way JJ said it, his attitude.
Contradicting.
We haven't really welcomed. I don't really know yet. He got to give
Perk,
me a little
Perk,
bit more.
Mysterious is the dark side.
You know, Perk, you know,
there.
We talked about this, Perk. I love Ja Morant. I've been talking.
I know.
About the Grizzlies since last spring. I love the Grizzlies and what they've built there. I just don't think he's not the MVP right now, man. That's okay. It's okay. He's
who
having
is?
A great season.
Who,
he should be first team All NBA.
But JJ, let me ask you a question. Who is the MVP right now? Because the MVP, you have to be winning along with putting up numbers. Kevin Durant's not doing that. Steph Curry has been struggling. DeMar DeRozan and the Bulls have been struggling. So right now, tell me who is playing better basketball? And by the way, the NBA came out with their rankings today. And guess who's the number one team in the power rankings? The Memphis Grizzlies. So I'm saying right now, today, what today is? January the what?
It's the 18th.
18th to 19th? I need you to make it clear to me. Who is over Ja Morant right now in far as being the front runner, and why?
Again, Perk, I'm going to go back to this. In their run, in this current run they've had, they're 11-2 without him. Okay, that's just a fact. That hurts his case for MVP. That does. I want to pose a question, actually, on that topic of MVP. Hold on a second.
I can't wait for you to say that.
This is one of the weirdest seasons so far when we talk about MVP, because this has changed week to week. And if you did an MVP vote right now, there could be six or seven guys that would get a first place vote. We've seen in the last few years unanimous MVPs. We've seen one or two guys get first place votes. This thing is definitely wide open. I agree with you. I just don't have Ja Morant as the MVP. That's all.
He's not giving a specific name.
And
it's just not Ja Morant. No. Well, Perk, I know this is Kendrick Perkins today. This is no longer NBA today, and you're straight up producing the show now, calling in J.J. Redick, all that. I'm going to help you out here, Perk, because we have some of Ja Morant's most outstanding plays this year. So maybe rolling through some of those, maybe that is going to change his mind. All right, so let's run them. Since you gave me permission, let's do it. We're going to start with the Cavs and the Grizzlies. It's the first week of the season. Ja sets the tone early. Look at that. I mean, catching lobs, catching bodies. My goodness. And then,
that's that Russell Westbrook in them.
Well, he likes to spread the wealth, too, because he can pass. Take a look at this. Full court.
That's that Rajon Rondo in them.
Catches, turns, pass, does it all. All right, and then there's something about Los Angeles, because Ja Morant always puts on a show when he comes here. Acrobatic layup through traffic.
That's that Kyrie Irving in them.
Well, and you already know what this is, Big Perk. Is it a block? Did we decide it's a block? Did we decide it's a steal?
That's that Jordan S in them.
All right, what's this one, Big Perk?
John Wall.
Is this the John Wall?
That's the Kyrie Irving.
Oh, okay.
I say that's the Kyrie Irving.
The craftiness. Clearly the just continues to show why. Point taken, point proven.
Carry on.
I'm just saying.
All right. He's just saying carry on. All right, so the Grizzlies, they've won 12 of 13, but Perk has made sure we got all our Grizzlies in for this show. The quota has been met. 12 of 13 for the Grizzlies. On the flip side, though, Chicago, they are really struggling. They're losers of 4 in a row, 5 of 6, and those losses have been against some of the top teams in the league. It includes Brooklyn, Dallas, Golden State, Boston, Memphis. So during the losing streak, the Bulls, they rank last in defensive efficiency, net rating, rebounds per game, and points off turnovers. And Zach LaVine has missed the last 2 games, and he will be reevaluated next week. So, Matt, what's your diagnosis here on what's ailing the Bulls?
I don't think really anything. I think up to this point, they've exceeded expectations. They were my dark horse surprise team of the year. They've been that. They're still number one in the East. They're dealing with some injuries right now. I still think they're a top 4 team in the East, so I don't really necessarily think anything is wrong. They're just in this nasty January stretch right now.
Yeah, I agree. Look, when you lose talent and Zach LaVine goes out, right, that's going to contribute to what's going on. I will say this, though. To me, I will go to the barometer game that they had. They had a 9-game winning streak, a national TV game against the Nets, okay? Everybody was hyped for this game. We wanted to see, you know, how do they stand up to a team like Brooklyn? What happens in that game? Pretty good first half. They get their doors blown off at home in the second half of that game. Mm-hmm. I do think that was a little bit of a jolt to their confidence, because you think they came out the next game, got blown out by the Golden State Warriors. So this is, and Zach LaVine only played 4 minutes in that game, so that's a little bit different. But I do think that was a barometer for where they really stack up. They've had a great start. They've been a great story. I think they're legitimately a team that can make some noise in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But when you lose Zach LaVine, it puts too much pressure on DeMar DeRozan. He has not been very efficient the last couple of games. Injuries to talent matters in this league.
Absolutely.
And when he's out, it's hard to judge the Bulls. But that Nets game, I'm going to have a hard time getting that out of my mind and what they did to Chicago that night.
And I have some iffy news for Bulls fans. They host the Cavs tomorrow night. Remember, Cleveland, they were your team. They are riding a 5-game winning streak right now. So we'll see what happens with that hurdle that they have yet to face. And we still have much more to come on NBA Today. Sound from Kyrie Irving last night that you should probably hear, and how it's going to affect the Nets on-court strategy moving forward. And Klay Thompson, he is back, but Draymond Green is still out. So how the Warriors can get back on track, a live report from Kendra Andrews shortly on Dub Nation. And I don't know how our staff narrowed it down, but the top plays from yesterday's jam-packed MLK Day slate in just a little bit.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Kyrie Irving returning to the city that he began his NBA career in.
Oh, some sauce by Kyrie Irving.
Irving, pull up. Oh, yeah! Kyrie Irving! And Thomas turns it over. Loop ahead. Oh, razzle dazzle! Big time highlight for the Cavaliers. Needs help. Irving, too far! And the Okoro jam puts Cleveland in front comfortably. The Nets fall to a much improved Cleveland squad.
So the Nets lose the first game they've played after Kevin Durant's injury, and they're now 2-2 in games that Kyrie has played in this season. And then on the other side, the Cavs have the longest winning streak in the NBA at 5 in a row. And in that span, they lead the league in field goal percentage, and they rank second in points in the paint, and they're tied for fourth in assists per game. But going back to Kyrie, if you were holding out some hope that eventually he was going to get vaccinated and return to full-time action, yesterday's post-game press conference put an end to that speculation. When asked by our Nets reporter Nick Friedel if Kevin Durant's injury would sway him towards getting vaccinated, Kyrie said this.
Kev's going to heal. Kev's going to be okay, you know, and we're going to have to deal with that as his teammates. But in terms of where I am with my life outside of this, I stay rooted in my decision. And that's just what it is. Respect everyone else's decision. I'm not going to ever try to convince anyone of anything or any of that. I just am standing rooted in what I believe in. And though we're dealing with this right now with Kev, I just know that I'm protected by the organization. I'm protected by my teammates. I'm protected by all the doctors I've talked to. And, you know, I just stand rooted.
All right, so the Nets, they have three more games on the road where Kyrie can play before a quick two-game homestand against the Lakers and the Nuggets. And then after that, they're going to embark on a five-game road trip. So back with JJ and Perk, I don't want to get into Kyrie Irving's vaccination status. I have no more time, breath, or energy for that. But I do want to talk about basketball. So knowing what we know now, no Kevin Durant for 4 to 6 weeks, no Kyrie Irving for home games for the foreseeable future. JJ, I want to start with you. What's the best course of action for the Nets moving forward?
The best course of action is to maintain the status quo, and frankly, I don't think they really have any other option here. Look, this team has basically piecemealed rosters game to game due to COVID, due to injuries, due to the availability of Kyrie Irving. They're very similar in a way to the Lakers. They're a very top-heavy roster, and when you have a top-heavy roster with three guys making the maximum contract, there's not the financial means to go out and trade for players. You're not going to trade those three guys. Joe Harris is the one guy who has a sizable contract that you could trade, but he's still injured with an ankle injury. So I think the strategy here is play Kyrie when he's available. James Harden has to go nuts and get great contributions from your bench.
Park?
Well, here's the thing, okay? Now Steve Nash is going to actually have to get into his bag and start coaching. That's number one. Second of all, you're going to have to use LaMarcus Aldridge. And I keep going back to this. Look, if you don't have KD for a month or a month and a half, and you know you only got Kyrie for away games, LaMarcus Aldridge, I think the record is like 8-2 or 9-2 when he scores 20 plus or more points. You have to put him back in the lineup and take some of that pressure off of James Harden, especially at home games, and go through him on that low block and feature him in the offense, because the LaMarcus Aldridge I saw before he had to go in COVID protocol, he was balling. Now, I'm not saying he was looking like a LaMarcus Aldridge in Portland, but he was looking something similar, a little bit close to it. Mm. So you have to utilize him, put him back in the offense, go through him a little bit, let him get his touches, and let him help you out.
Well, and we were talking about it yesterday, and I was saying that 11 of the Nets' next 14 games are on the road. So they do have this big stretch where they're going to have Kyrie Irving be able to build a little bit of continuity. But continuity is also something they've never had with this roster with the big three, with James mm-hmm. Harden missing time with his hamstring injury. With Kyrie Irving, remember, when they traded for James Harden, Kyrie wasn't with the team because he was taking a personal hiatus for several weeks. And so this is something that this organization is used to. They have said over and over again that their goals, despite the injuries, despite not having players available full time, is to win a championship. And so this is the time where, when Kyrie's playing, doubling down, trying to win those games. And James Harden, this is his team now. Let's see what he can do. You mentioned Joe Harris, JJ, Steve Nash said he's progressing in his rehab, but he's not quite to the point where he's going to be able to join the team in the imminent future, but it's coming. We're getting a little bit closer. We are also not done yet on NBA Today. Thank you, gentlemen. Coming up, we are going live to San Francisco for a report on what is ailing the Splash Brothers. So how can the Warriors get back on track tonight against the Pistons? Keep it locked on NBA Today.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
2.5 years, 175 games, 941 days. Here he is. I think he's healthy. Good look at a three. There it is. First dunk, first three.
Been a while on the sidelines watching. Now it's time to play. I ain't got no other options.
I'm just so grateful to be out here in the love I received this night. I will never forget.
So the night Klay Thompson returned in Chase Center, it was goosebump-inducing. And from the arena being on its feet when he was warming up to the opening lineups where I could barely hear his name being called because the crowd was so loud, it really felt like the woes of the world just melted away and gave way to joy, even just for a second. And since then, the Warriors have bobbled. They went 1-3 on their road trip, and Draymond Green has been battling a calf injury. But now they're back in the Bay, and they're hoping to turn things around. So ahead of tonight's matchup against the Pistons, I'm excited to bring in our new Warriors beat reporter, Kendra Andrews. Kendra, welcome to the team. But I want to talk about Golden State here. What's been their mindset as they try to get back on track?
Well, Malika, the mood after shoot-around this morning was very subdued. It was quiet. Guys just kept their heads down and put in their work because they know coming off of that 1-3 road trip, there is a lot of work for them to do, but none of them are reaching for the panic button right now. Steve Kerr said that they're just going through a rough patch of their season, and this happens to every team every year. They just need to figure out how to get back on track. Now, some might be inclined to reach for that panic button because this slump, if that's what we're going to call it, seems to have come out of the blue, especially thinking back to just how dominant the Warriors were to start the season. They skyrocketed to the top of the league and didn't experience any of those growing pains that maybe you expect when you're integrating so many new guys to the roster and rotation. But those growing pains are catching up with them. You mentioned bringing Klay back after 2.5 years. Steph Curry missed a game with a hand injury. Gary Payton II missed 2 games. Now Draymond Green's out for at least 2 weeks as he deals with that calf injury. So they just have to figure out how to get back on track. But Andrew Wiggins told me this morning that they're not panicked. And right now, the 7-game homestand, which starts tonight, feels like the perfect opportunity to do so.
Okay, so they're not reaching for the panic button quite yet, but you mentioned the Warriors are still integrating Klay again. So through the 4 games since he's been back, Klay has been shooting 36% from the field and 36% from three-point range. So Kendra, what has Klay said about his performance so far?
Well, the other night after their game in Minnesota, Klay said it's very rare for a guy to have a 2+ year hiatus and come back just as dominant as he was before. So he's really trying to apply that patience that he learned over the past 2.5 years and apply it to his shot coming back. And really, the Warriors need to apply that patience as a whole. Only 3 members of this team have played with Klay before: Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Kevon Looney. So a lot of guys are readjusting their roles, particularly Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole. But Andrew said, as they learn how to play with him, as they get the feel for being on the court with Klay, all of that should work itself out.
Absolutely, and we will be watching to see how they can try to turn this thing around, especially on this homestand. Kendra, thank you so much. Sis, let's do this again. This is pretty fun.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Perk?
Oh, look at this.
Are you just producing this whole show today?
This is a proud moment. Hey, Kendra, congratulations. Happy to have you part of the NBA family. But look, Malika, you know last week you shot the little salad thing at me, right? And I told you, okay? I caught it. So, Kendra, look, we unfiltered and we shoot slugs on here. I need you to tell us something about Malika growing up as a child that used to get on your nerves. I need to hear.
Nothing.
No, I asked Kendra.
I don't want to get on her bad side. I don't want to get on her bad side.
No bad side.
All I'll say is that there was one time where she may have tried to sit on me and put a pillow on my head because I took her Legos. So we'll
I thought you were going to say when Dad was home to intervene because you were snoring. So I didn't mean to. I just wanted to stop the snoring. Perk, get out of this shot. You're not in this block. We still have more to come on NBA Today. And yes, you will be involved in it, Perk. I pinky promise. It's a L.A. state of mind. So we hit on the latest on the Lakers and the Clippers. When might we see Paul George back on the court?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're watching NBA Today, live from Los Angeles.
All right, let's go coast to coast on yesterday's action. We're going to have to start with the Portland Trail Blazers because CJ McCollum, he returned for the Blazers after missing the last 18 games, and he scored 16 points in 28 minutes as Portland beat the Magic. Yusuf Nurkic had 21 points, 22 rebounds in his third career 2020 game. So, Tim, do you see the Blazers making the playoffs this year?
Oh, man. I think they're going to be a play-in team, 7 through 10, somewhere in there, and probably get bounced.
All right. Well, another injured All-Star returned. Bam Adebayo played for the first time since late November and scored 14 points in the Heat's win against the Raptors. And then Jimmy Butler had his second triple-double of the season. So, Matt, how big is it for Bam to be back here?
It's huge. This team's been floating under the radar all season and has a great chance to win a championship this year.
Oh, well. I mean, we're getting some Heat love today. I know producer Hillary loves that. All right, let's get to the ATL because the Hawks, they beat the Bucks behind Trae Young's 30 points and 11 assists. And Atlanta overcame a 14-point deficit to snap a 10-game home losing streak. So, Tim, what stood out to you from Trae's performance specifically?
Well, look, I think this team has lost its swagger. I think they realize expectations are hard to live up to. They set the bar high last year, and they're going through some growing pains.
Well, and you have to imagine this game means a little bit to them considering this was the Eastern Conference Finals rematch. And then last but certainly not least, the Clippers. They beat the Pacers and scored a season-high 139 points. But later in the day, their two injured superstars, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, were at a playoff Rams game, or I should say the playoff Rams game. It was a big one. So now to talk a little bit more about the state of Los Angeles basketball, joining us on the desk is senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski. So Woj, I do want to start with the Clippers here because Paul George, he's been out since the team announced on Christmas he was dealing with a torn UCL in his right elbow. So what's the latest on his timetable?
Malika, I'm told that the Clippers are going to extend that initial 3 to 4 week period of rest for Paul George, likely for a few more weeks. They want to see how this elbow heals, how it responds to the rest. So you're looking now, and it's taking you close to the All-Star break in mid-February. So Paul George will continue to be out. They're going to continue to see how he responds to rest for that elbow injury.
Okay, so several more weeks you're reporting that he is going to be out. But Matt, they're also without Kawhi Leonard, right, who is still dealing with recovering from that torn ACL. So is this a lost season for the Clippers here?
First off, hats off to Ty Lue for just keeping things together. You lose Kawhi, now you lost PG, but they're still in the hunt. You know, they're at the eighth seed right now. But I would make sure that the health of my two stars is most important, so I'm not rushing either one of those guys back.
Okay, so we're going to stick in L.A. and go to the other Los Angeles team because the Lakers, they snapped a 3-game losing streak last night by beating the Jazz. But Woj, take us inside the front office right now. What's the state of what's being talked about behind the scenes?
Listen, listen, there's no question the Lakers have talked about Frank Vogel's, is the possibility of a change something that makes sense for them? But ultimately, it gets back to this. I think the depth of their coaching staff. This is a different coaching staff than they had last season when they had Jason Kidd on staff, who obviously went on to become the head coach in Dallas. David Fizdale's been a head coach twice. He was the acting head coach, and Frank Vogel was out with COVID. But all of a sudden, let's say hypothetically you move David Fizdale up. Now you look at the staff and you go, is this a staff that we're positive it's going to be better than what we have with Frank Vogel? I think they want to give Frank Vogel every chance here. I think last night was an important game for him. What any coach with a struggling team has to avoid is what happened in Denver the other night. When you lose by 37, when your team's non-competitive, and then the questions become, has he lost the locker room? Well, that was an emphatic no last night, how they played against the Jazz. You know, they're going to get Anthony Davis back here. But I think this is an organization, I think, that wants to continue with Frank Vogel, but there's certainly a lot of pressure always in that seat with the head coach of the Lakers. No one's going to survive losing for very long, but I think right now Frank Vogel, I think he's got the opportunity to certainly hang in there until they get AD back and then really see what this team is.
Well, there's two sides to this coin, though, right? Because it's what the staff can do, and then it's the roster. So as you're looking at this roster, Legs, as it's currently constructed, what needs to change for them?
Yeah, Matt and I were talking about this earlier. I mean, you're talking about a veteran group that honestly has very little interest in the regular season. And the problem with the Lakers is if you think you're going to flick that switch once you get AD back, the weather gets warmer, you smell April 15th around the corner when the playoffs start, and you think you can just solve all your problems, then they're mistaken, because you're not going to come, I don't think, out of the Western Conference playing on the road in every single round, which is what they're really facing right now. Having said all of that, though, Roach hit it on the head. Listen, talent makes up for a lot of mistakes. And when you add a guy that's a multidimensional game changer on both ends of the floor like Anthony Davis, and you get a number of games under their belt with LeBron, with Westbrook,
right,
Carmelo back, when we can finally really see what is the ceiling of this team, we'll have a better idea. Right now, like a lot of teams in this league, they're missing a really key guy, and it's hard to evaluate exactly what they're going to be. Also, the age of their roster, I think the second half of the year is what these guys are built for. So let's get AD back, get some games under the belt, and then we can really judge what the Lakers are, because right now, they're not a contender in the Western Conference. We got to see what it looks like with AD.
Well, the trade deadline is looming, and as long as Adrian Wojnarowski is on this panel, I have to ask, is there anything brewing right now for the Lakers?
Listen, the Lakers tried. They tried to get involved with Cam Reddish. You know, the Knicks had a better asset for them. I think the Lakers are in a tough spot to do anything other than just kind of move the furniture around, to think that they've got the assets to do something to get dramatically better. Listen, Talen Horton Tucker, a good young player. Listen, he's probably better than what they can get for Talen Horton Tucker. Kendrick Nunn is yet to play this season. They put him in some trade discussions. But this is a team, listen, Miles Turner, who's a player in Indiana, he's out with a stress reaction in his foot. I'm told he will be out past the trade deadline in February, you know, which makes trade talks more difficult for Indiana to get max value back for him. I think for the most part, the Lakers' improvement is going to have to come from within. They just don't have tradable assets, especially with so few sellers in the market. There are going to be other teams who can offer those select few sellers better offers than the Lakers will be able to.
So that improvement likely is going to have to be internal. Woj, thank you so much for joining us today with your insight and reporting. Wednesday Night Hoops, the Clippers, they're our second game of our doubleheader, and LaMelo and the Hornets square off against the Celtics to start us off at 7:30 Eastern. And then the Clippers at the Nuggets with our pals Mark Jones and Richard Jefferson on the call. NBA Countdown gets us started at 7 o'clock Eastern. Coming up on NBA Today, we go to the top of the top. These plays were the best of college basketball, so stick around to find out who made the cut in the NBA. NBA Today, back in 60 seconds.
Welcome Welcome back to NBA Today, Friday night on ESPN. It's the Bulls and the Bucks at 8 Eastern and a special one-hour NBA countdown gets us started at 7 o'clock Eastern. So, yesterday, gentlemen, we had 12 games for ML Table, so it was really hard to narrow this down to the top of the top, but we're going to try and run it anyway, starting with top posters, and we have to start in D.C. because Kyle Kuzma, I said Russell Westbrook detonated, Kyle Kuzma over Joel Embiid.
Big dunk. He's been waiting for his moment to shine. He's really starting to spread his wings in Washington. I'm happy for him.
Big JoJo tried to time that one up. Sometimes when you get there late, you get your feelings hurt, and that happened right there. So props up to Kuzma. That was nasty. Even full of frustration came out on one dunk for Russell Westbrook.
I'm surprised he didn't really just rip that rim down with one hand and start cussing everyone out. But I'm happy. Like I said, I'm happy for him. This guy's been getting a lot of flack, and hopefully he'll be better in the second half.
Are you sure he didn't cuss anyone out at the end of that? I'm not sure I'm willing to say he didn't do that. Didn't rip down the rim, though. All right, well, and then we have to do top and one. Yesterday in Miami, rookie Scotty Barnes went coast to coast and slammed it down.
Really like this guy, man. Played well when Siakam's out, kind of finding out who he is with Siakam in there, but very bright future for him.
And you know you did something special when you take two defenders into the third row with you. I mean, you got there with a beer, I think. I see some popcorn flying. Took 2 feet with him and still finished it. And that's just a rookie.
Is he a rookie of the year,
I think Evan Mobley right now for me be the leader in the clubhouse, but he's certainly the best.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's go ahead to top dime because it's your guy earlier, Darius Garland. What?
Starting to feel himself right now. You know, he's got a lot of confidence. He's been giving the reins to this team. And like I said, the numbers he's put up over the last 3 weeks are as good as anybody's going to have for a point guard in a three-game stretch. Love this young man's game.
Kevin Love, incredibly impressive pass to start off that play. This is, you guys know this, it's my favorite basketball term. In the top, jelly. So in the garden yesterday, Miles Bridges put on a show. Woo, jelly for some sparkle.
Most improved player of the year, in my opinion. He really made a great decision by not taking the offer that team made him early in the season. They're going to have to bring that money way up, legs.
I love that call for most improved player. I think Matt's right on that. No one thought that Miles Bridges could be a guy that could be a 20 to 25 point per game scorer in the NBA. He's doing it every single night. He is explosive.
Is there anyone that's close in that conversation?
I think Jordan Poole would have to be in the discussion as well.
Okay.
Because
you
get more of an opportunity, really, with anything.
So we have Miles Bridges. I got to bring it back to the discussion we had earlier. If Ja Morant is an MVP, then who is right now? Because the race with Kevin Durant down feels wide open to me.
Yeah, more guys than ever, I think, in the discussion at this time of year. Normally, it's down to like two guys.
Right.
I think there are five or six different guys. Joel Embiid is surging right now, by the way.
Giannis Antetokounmpo has an opportunity right now with some guys.
And let's not forget about Steph, because he's had a rough several weeks.
Absolutely.
So, like Jake is like.
That's a tiny little sample size. Well, thank you for joining Kendrick Perkins today. We really appreciate you tuning in. NFL Live is next, and we will see you tomorrow.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.